الحمد لله الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد فقد قال الله تعالى في القرآن الكريم أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم الرجال قوامون على النساء بما فضل الله بعضهم على بعض وبما أنفقوا من أموالهم إلى آخر الآية رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي.
Respected elders and dear friends, when we reflect on the ayat of Quran and many of the hadiths of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam that pertain to the relationship between men and women, not only between husband and wife, but even between, you know, father and son and father and daughter, between brother and sister, between son and mother, and so on. We find that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has assigned for each person a distinct and respective role. And according to how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created both men and women, and we know from experience, and the Quran is very explicit about this as well, that men and women are not the same. Physically we are different, emotionally and psychologically we are different, and intellectually we are different. And each gender, we have our strengths, our weaknesses, our abilities, our deficiencies, and so on. So taking into account these abilities and weaknesses of ours, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has accordingly assigned responsibilities and rights to each person. But what we find commonly, whether pertaining to husband and wife, or father and daughter, or son and mother, or brother and sister, the one common factor we find amongst all of these is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has placed the responsibility of the woman under the men. And Allah is very explicit about this in the Quran when Allah says in Surah An-Nisa, الرِّجَالُ قَوَّامُونَ عَلَى النِّسَاءِ بِمَا فَضَّلَ اللَّهُ بَعْضَهُمْ عَلَى بَعْضٍ, that men are the custodians and they are the guardians of women. بِمَا فَضَّلَ اللَّهُ بَعْضَهُمْ عَلَى بَعْضٍ, because of the favor and blessing that Allah has given to some over the others. And therefore we find that, in fact, throughout history, this has been the case that, until recently at least, but throughout history we find that it has always been the case that men always took responsibility to look after their women. And even the Quran is further clarified on this, where Allah says, with regard to the sustenance of the wife and the children, it falls on the shoulders of the husband. And besides that, we also find in other contexts as well, in certain places, you know, a woman requires the protection and guardianship of her wali and of her male guardian. So for example, we learn that a woman is not allowed to travel for a distance further than 77 kilometers except in the presence of a mahram, somebody whom she cannot get married to. Likewise, we also learn in the case of nikah, when Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said that la nikaha illa bi waliyin. In fact, he repeated this thrice, emphasizing that a nikah cannot be valid except with the permission of the guardian. So from all of these ayat and ahadith, we learn that this responsibility has to be borne by the men. And therefore, with our daily activities as well, we find that normally the activities of the household or the family that are outside of the home traditionally has always been that of the husband and the father. And the responsibilities of the family and the home within the home falls on the shoulders of the mother. And the hadith of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, where he says, kullukum ra'in, all of you are shepherds, wa kullukum masulun an ra'iyatihi ila akhir al-hadith, that all of you are shepherds and all of you are accountable to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for your responsibility. And then Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam mentions further that the husband is responsible for his family and the wife is responsible for the house of the of the husband. So this has always been the case, that men took that responsibility of looking after their wives and their families and performed the responsibilities outside the home, and the mothers and wives performed the responsibility within the home. But we find that increasingly in the last 20 years among the Muslim community, let's not talk about the non-Muslims, but in the Muslim community we find it increasingly that a lot of the chores and responsibilities outside of the household is now being shifted to the woman. And to varying degrees, women are doing that. In some homes, subhanAllah, men actually have this expectation and impose on women to go and work or to contribute towards the expenses of the household. In the other home, you may find that although they don't impose that, but they expect the mother or the wife to, you know, take the children to school, drop them off to school, pick them up from school and madrasa, to take them for tuition, to do the household shopping, and all the other responsibilities, work, or chores outside the home, we find that is now shifting to the shoulders of the woman. And some of us think nothing of it. And for various reasons we are doing it. Obviously, you know, it's mainly because of the pressures of this modern living. And when I talk about the pressures of modern living, this modern lifestyle that we lead, or social pressure, peer pressure, pressure from our families, our friends, and from the environment that we live in. You know, in the name of empowering women, in the name of, subhanAllah, liberating women as if they were imprisoned all these years. You know, we feel happy when our wives and our daughters get their licenses, we purchase for them vehicles, and then we shift these responsibilities onto them. But little do we realize, brothers, that in doing so, there are two important consequences that result from this kind of shift of responsibility. And both are serious. You see, if you look at the Quran, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes woman in one verse, in Surah An-Nur, you know, in the context of where people accuse believing women of infidelity, and unfaithfulness, Allah says, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ يَرْمُونَ الْمُحْسَنَاتِ الْغَافِلَاتِ الْمُؤْمِنَاتِ, the chaste woman, believing woman. And Allah is the word الغافلات. Now the word غفلة is normally used in a negative context, and some use unmindful. But Allah uses this word to describe believing and chaste woman, الغافلات. And this word indicates to us, brothers, that, you know, and I mentioned in the beginning that the nature of men and women are different. Women are of such a nature that Allah has placed in them a lot of innocence and natural modesty and haya and shamefulness and bashfulness. Therefore you'll find that, you know, a young girl, especially an unmarried woman, whom we call a virgin woman, when she comes in the presence of men, naturally she will look down, naturally she will shy away. She will not freely engage in conversation and discussion with the opposite gender, but Allah has naturally placed these barriers and this modesty and respect in them. Now whenever women leave the home, the moment they step out of the boundaries, the precincts of the home, they're already exposed to the fitan that's outside there, all the trials and tribulations, and all the negative impulses that we find in the environment. Now brothers, I mean, let's face it, going to any shopping mall today, subhanAllah, we feel so uncomfortable. Look at the huge posters there. What's the invitation all the time out there in the world? Towards lewdness, towards immorality, towards shamelessness. And all the time, we ourselves, you know how we are affected as men when we are exposed to all of those negative impulses that are bombarding us. Now when a woman are exposed in the world in that way, and all the time, then we become conditioned to that wrong and evil. And that's the difficulty we face. We live in an environment in which, you know, kufr and shirk and immodesty prevails. Is that we become so conditioned to that evil that after a while it stops affecting us. We just pass by and we see it, and, you know, it doesn't disturb us any longer. Now when we expose a woman folk to that, what are we doing? We need to reflect about this, brothers, that in the process, are we not stripping away all of those barriers of modesty and haya and respect that Allah has placed naturally in women? And therefore you'll find that after many years of exposure to wrong and evil, you know, you look at these women, and I'm just saying, if you have to examine their thinking and their attitudes, subhanAllah, you'll see the fundamental change that has occurred in them. So we need to ask ourselves that, is this what we want of our women folk? And you see it so glaring, especially amongst the non-Muslims, subhanAllah, that, you know, this whole drive of modern feminism and so-called, you know, equality of the sexes, that this distinction between men and women is now being faded. Women talk like men. SubhanAllah, their voices sound like men. They're just like men. So is this what we want a woman to become like? Besides that, we know the environment that we live in. So we have to ask ourselves that we want to expose our wives to the harassment. We know as men that when we work in the world, in the working world, that it's only the taqwa of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that prevents us from committing sin, that prevents us from exploiting a situation, because we fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But what about the vast majority of men out there who don't fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Many of whom don't even believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Given the opportunity, will they not exploit the situation? I remember many years my father, rahimullah, used to say, a woman leaves her home in the morning and goes to work from 8 to 5, for example. And she is in the company of a man in front of her, non-Muslim man in front of her, behind her, to her right and to her left. And for the whole day she is exposed in the situation. Ask ourselves, brothers, that what is going to happen in that situation? So, are we prepared to take that risk? And we know the high crime rate out there, how often women get accosted, women get harassed and so on. Do we want to take that risk of exposing a woman to that? How often we find that men sometimes at home, they're relaxing, they're reading the newspaper, they're watching television, or they're wasting time on their cell phones, and then their wives have to take their children to the madrasa and pick them up from madrasa. So on some occasion you find a mother at 5 o'clock in the morning, whereas the husband might be sleeping at home, the poor mother has to take the child to the hifz class and pick him up at 6:30. Now we have to ask ourselves, is where are the men of today, really? We are the men of today who would take on the responsibility of the families with duty, with diligence, with pride and with honor, so that they can earn the respect of the women in the homes. But increasingly we are shifting the responsibility. And really it's for our convenience we are doing it. Let's face it, because we can do those tasks. Even the household shopping, for example, we can give so many examples of this. We pass it on to our wives because we feel burdened after work to go and do it. But if you understand, brothers, that this is our responsibility, that Allah has blessed us with a wife, Allah has blessed us with children, it's our responsibility for us to sustain them and look after them. And therefore, we should be happy to perform these tasks. That's the one consequence. The other consequence, equally serious, is that as we shoulder more and more responsibility on a woman folk to perform these tasks, then they are going to shy away and avoid the responsibilities that are placed on them within the home environment. And this alone is so serious. How many homes you find today that women are now refusing to bear children for their husbands beyond 2 or 3 children? 2 children, 3 children, they say, bus, I don't want any more children. Because they feel too burdened with having to perform the tasks out of the home and within the home. If you look at even the feeding of the children, how many women today, if you ask a question, are prepared to breastfeed their children for up to 2 years as advised by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran? If you look at the preparation of the food, how many homes we find that now parents are opting to purchase fruits from outside, you know, buying food from takeaway in restaurants? Smile, not long ago I heard a woman saying, oh, why must I cook? I can just buy it from one of the takeaways and bring it, provide to the children. So we're depriving our children of the healthy nourishment that our mothers and wives can prepare for them. And then we can talk about the tarbiyah of the children. These little innocent babe children, 2 years and 3 years and 4 years and up, until maturity. These children require the urgent, the attention of the mother, the love of the mother, the care of the mother, the warmth of the mother. But as we are shifting responsibility onto a woman, they are taking our children and they are leaving them in the creches. You know, 2-year-old children, subhanAllah, brothers, if you think about it, what love can a person who is employed in the creche give to a 2-year-old child? What tarbiyah can a woman, can a paid person in a creche or in the primary, pre-primary school provide to our children? We have to think and reflect on this, brothers. We find in schools, and sometimes I laugh at this, you know, our days when we are young, we go to preschool and then primary school. Now they have grade 0, they have grade 00, they have grade 000. We think they'll eventually run out of zeros. Really? And those children can't talk, a 6-month-old child, a 1-year-old child, a 2-year-old child, can't tell the mother. And you know, we hear the child cries when the mother leaves the child at the creche. How will the child cry out to them, but please don't leave me with these people? We're not receptive to that. Because the child can't say. I remember, and I'll perhaps conclude after this. My father-in-law, rahimullah, he mentioned to me many years ago, before he passed away, that he was running a garage in Reservoir Hill. So, a non-Muslim person came to him and complained to him that his father had become very aged, and he was missing the bed. So his wife was getting upset now, so they're thinking of leaving him in an old age home where somebody else can take care of him. So he asked him that, when you were a young child yourself and a baby, and you were missing the bed, did your parents take you and leave you somewhere else in a home to look after? So he thanked him. This man thanked my father, and I told him, thank you. And a few weeks thereafter, he passed away. And he was ever so thankful to him that he reminded him that as his parents didn't do that to him when he was a child in old age, he had the responsibility to look after his parents. But brother, if we are going to take our children and leave them in creches and leave them in pre-primary schools to others to look after, then when the tables are turned in old age, when our children take us and leave us in our old age homes, then we know who's to blame for that. And to conclude, the last point for us to think about, brothers, in the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala instructed the wives of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, وَقَرَرْنَا فِي بُيُوتِكُنَّ, and remain in your homes. Now, although this instruction is specifically for Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam's wives, again, we should reflect on it that, what is the reason for it? Why did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala require of the wives of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam to remain in their homes? If for important ibadat, like the performance of salah, we know that women are discouraged from attending the masajid, then what about our more mundane activities of looking after our families and our children and performing the household chores? It's all the more reason that a woman should preferably remain in the home, and we should fulfill these responsibilities. May Allah guide us and to understand the truth and to realize our responsibilities and to perform these responsibilities with beauty and diligence. May Allah guide us.